A U.S. cargo plane is down in Mexico. Cirrus Designs' new The Jet makes its first official flight. And AOPA fights NAV Canada over 5-year retroactive taxes on U.S. pilots. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 7th, 2008. A McDonnell Douglas DC-9-15 freighter, operated by USA Jet Airlines Incorporated, went down about 2:15 a.m. local time Sunday morning on approach to Saltillo Airport in the northeastern state of Coahuila, 56 miles west of Monterrey, Mexico. CNN reported the plane was carrying a load of auto parts bound for a General Motors plant in Ramos Arizpe. A company official said the flight originated at Willow Run Airport in Ypsilanti, Michigan, near Detroit. It picked up cargo at Hamilton, Ontario, and cleared customs at Shreveport, Louisiana. The pilot was reportedly killed in the impact, and the first officer suffered severe burns and was described as in critical condition. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board is aiding Mexican authorities in the investigation. You can find the latest details as we learn more at aero-news.net. Our AeroCasts had the U.S. Independence holiday off on Friday, but if you followed our website, you know that the new Cirrus light jet has done something few others have: made its first flight before it even has a real name. Cirrus Design simply calls it The Jet and proclaims it to be, quote, the slowest, lowest, and cheapest jet available, unquote, with a projected speed of about 300 knots at flight level 250. The jet completed its first official flight about 11:30 a.m. Thursday morning, although the Aero News crew camped out to catch exclusive photos and footage reports seeing at least a little light under all the tires on one earlier fast taxi test. The 45-minute flight appeared to go without a hitch. Advanced Development Group Vice President Steve Serfling praised, quote, the team of more than 125 dedicated engineers and technicians that have worked tirelessly to ensure that this milestone was met in a safe and efficient manner. With this successful flight today, we initiate the next program phase that will support the more rigorous certification program, unquote. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is using an oversight by NAV Canada as more evidence user fees are a bad idea. NAV Canada is a privatized air traffic control system which charges Canadian pilots an annual flat rate, currently $69 a year for small private aircraft, in order to pay for ATC services. Pilots visiting from other countries are charged prorated fees based on how long they're in the country. NAV Canada has spent the last 9 years operating on assumptions left over from the government-run ATC. But after a recent audit, the Canada Revenue Agency, which is that country's equivalent to the IRS, says because NAV Canada is a private corporation, it's supposed to be charging a goods and services tax, like a sales tax, on everything it sells. Well, it's not clear which screw-up is more colossal, NAV Canada not paying the tax, or Canadian tax authorities taking 9 years to catch the mistake. In any event, NAV Canada is now attempting to collect from U.S. pilots who flew through Canadian airspace as long as 5 years ago. The only reason they're not going all the way back to 1999 when NAV Canada started is because Canada has a 5-year statute of limitations on such things. AOPA President Phil Boyer has asked NAV Canada to waive the tax collection for U.S. aircraft operators. Phil observes, quote, we have always opposed user fees, and this latest insult shows just how flawed and inefficient the system is. How much is NAV Canada now going to spend to attempt to track down the pilot of the aircraft to collect this tax? A simple fuel tax makes so much more sense, and the very idea of a tax on top of a fee. AOPA will continue to fight to make sure the United States never tries to go down that airway, unquote. NAV Canada is frequently held up by user fee proponents as an example of a privatized ATC system which works well. Oops. The Associated Press reports General Electric Aviation Engines has completed its purchase of Walter Engines, the Czech producer of small turboprops for light aircraft. As ANN reported, GE announced plans to buy Walter last August to expand its presence in Europe and the Czech Republic, as well as its presence in the increasingly lucrative light turboprop segment, which has been dominated for years by Pratt & Whitney Canada's PT6 family. Terms of the deal were not disclosed. Walter Engines also manufactures high-precision machined parts for the aviation industry and employs over 500 workers in the Czech Republic. Coming up next on ANN, American Airlines says its second quarter loss will be a number with three commas. The NTSB says a cargo plane fire followed a threat and investigators reveal a probable cause in last year's fatal warbird crash at Oshkosh. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 7th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. American Airlines says it may post a second quarter charge of as much as $1.3 billion, much of it related to the carrier's plans to reduce capacity. The airline says it will take the financial hit due to the early retirement of its elderly gas-guzzling MD-82s and 83s. The carrier also announced it'll lay off as many as 7,000 employees, triggering payouts of severance packages. That's about 8% of the airline's worldwide workforce, and that mirrors a similar percentage cut in capacity announced earlier. Jeffrey Brundage, American's Senior Vice President for Human Resources, says the carrier hopes to accomplish many of the furloughs through voluntary separation agreements, but told the New York Times last week, quote, "It's crucial that we take the appropriate actions to operate a strong and competitive airline for both our employees and customers," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a factual summary of the circumstances surrounding a June 28th fire that burned a hole through the top of an ABX Air Boeing 767 cargo plane that was parked at San Francisco International Airport. The report states that the primary location of the fire was outside the cargo hold in an area just aft of the cockpit. The fire was extinguished by San Francisco Airport rescue and firefighting only after causing substantial damage to the airplane. The flight crew of two was preparing for engine start and escaped without injury. The board says that within a week prior to the incident, the cargo carrier had received a threat against an unspecified aircraft. So far, there's no evidence of an explosive or incendiary device. NTSB has released a final causal report on the fatal collision between a P-51A and a P-51D Mustang while landing following a simulated air race at Air Venture last year. As reported by ANN, Gerard Beck of Wahpeton, North Dakota, was flying the green-winged P-51A that collided with a P-51D flown by Casey Odegaard as both aircraft came in to land the afternoon of July 27th last year. Beck's plane flipped after wing-to-wing contact between the two aircraft and hit the ground inverted. Beck was killed in that accident. Odegaard was able to exit his plane under his own power after it came to rest on its nose, about 50 yards ahead of the wreckage of Beck's aircraft. The NTSB report stated that as the five aircraft in the demonstration were recovering, there was confusion over the landing intentions of the P-51A. Interviews with the air race demonstration pilots revealed that in the team briefing prior to the race, the team representative said Odegaard was to land first. Two of the team's pilots said they did not recall that. The NTSB concluded the probable cause of the collision was Beck's failure to maintain clearance from the P-51D due to an inadequate visual lookout. Contributing factors included restricted forward visibility of the P-51A, the air race team representative's inadequate flight brief, the failure of the air boss to recognize the lack of separation between the airplanes on short final, and the diminished air-to-ground radio communications during the air show. Pratt & Whitney's Geared Turbofan Demonstrator Engine has completed Phase 2 ground tests and has been cleared for flight testing on the company's 747 flying testbed. That's expected to begin soon. Pratt & Whitney says the Phase 2 tests measured the ground-level noise characteristics of the engine, which is expected to be 50% quieter than today's engines and 20 dB quieter than the International Civil Aviation Organization's Stage 4 noise regulations. In a geared turbofan, a gear system allows the engine's fan to operate at a speed different from that of the low-pressure compressor and turbine, resulting in greater fuel efficiency and a slower fan speed for reduced noise. The engine has already been announced as the exclusive power plant for the new Mitsubishi Regional Jet and the proposed Bombardier C-Series. Both those aircraft are scheduled to enter service in 2013. Still ahead, a Texas city unveils a memorial to 9/11 airline flight crews. France brings criminal charges in the Concorde's only fatal accident. And a tale of two balloon flights has bad news and good news. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 7th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The city of Grapevine, Texas, observed Independence Day weekend on Friday morning with a moving ceremony dedicating what's being called the nation's first significant national 9/11 flight crew memorial, honoring the 33 flight crew members lost on September 11, 2001. The million-dollar public monument and plaza sits atop Texas limestone at 1000 Texan Trail in Grapevine. It was the vision of Valerie Thompson, an American Airlines flight attendant and founder of the 9/11 Flight Crew Memorial Foundation. The bronze statue took 6 years to finish and stands 18 feet tall, 15 feet wide, and 20 feet deep. The memorial's official name is Valor, Commitment, Dedication, after the three characteristics exhibited by the flight crews who lost their lives on 9/11 and by those who continue to fly. Grapevine is a suburb of Dallas and Fort Worth and lies immediately north of DFW International Airport, which was the home base for American Airlines crew members who were lost in the attack. You'll find pictures and details on the nature and meanings of the figures depicted at aero-news.net. It's rare and controversial for criminal charges to be brought in the case of an airliner crash, but authorities in France have decided to go there. Air France Flight 4590, the supersonic Concorde, took off on July 25, 2000, for what was supposed to be a routine trip across the Atlantic to New York's JFK International. The aircraft caught fire on the runway at Charles de Gaulle Airport and crashed shortly after takeoff into a nearby hotel. All 100 passengers and 9 crew died, as did 4 people on the ground, in the only fatal accident ever involving the SST. The BBC quotes French officials in reporting that Continental Airlines and 2 of its employees will face criminal charges after investigators ruled that a titanium wear strip fell from one of the engine nacelles on a Continental DC-10 and punctured one of the Concorde's main gear tires, sending a chunk of tire debris into the underside of the wing, which ruptured a fuel tank. Investigators allege that wear strip should have been fabricated from aluminum, which is softer than titanium, and presumably would not have caused the same level of damage to the Concorde. 2 Continental employees, 2 employees of Concorde builder Aerospatiale, and a member of France's Civil Aviation Authority all face charges. Continental says it will vehemently fight any charges in the case. The trial is expected to start next year and take as long as 3 months. Officials believe the body of a Brazilian priest missing since April has been located in the Atlantic Ocean about 60 miles offshore. As ANN reported, Reverend Adelier Antonio de Carli disappeared April 20th during an attempt to set a new Guinness World Record for human flight using party balloons. He went missing 8 hours after taking off from Paranagua, suspended under 1,000 helium-filled balloons. Deutsche Presse Agentur reports the body was recovered by a tugboat crew on Friday. Officials plan to conduct DNA testing to be sure, but police say clothing, shoes, and personal items recovered with the body leave little doubt they've found DeCarli. The Reverend made a similar attempt back in January. He reportedly climbed past 16,000 feet using 500 balloons. He was making his latest attempt not only in hopes of setting a new record, but also to draw attention to the need for rest stops for Brazilian truck drivers and to promote religion. A Brazilian reporter who interviewed DeCarli commented that despite wearing a thermal, waterproof flight suit, he was poorly prepared for the journey, which was expected to take more than 19 hours. Among other observations, the reporter noted DeCarli did not know how to operate his GPS receiver. DeCarli reportedly encountered bad weather shortly after takeoff. In his last communication, he reported having problems staying in the air. Finally, things worked out much better for another helium balloon lawn chair aviation record attempt over the July 4th weekend. In this one, Central Oregon gas station operator Kent Cooch was hoping to fly his lawn chair 300 miles from his point of departure and land in Idaho. He made it only 235 miles, but that was good enough to get him across the state line. Residents of the tiny farming community of Cambridge, Idaho, came running after reports Kent had been spotted at low altitude over the city market. The 9-hour flight ended when Cooch used a couple of well-placed BBs to pop enough balloons to touch down in a field. Before setting off on the flight, Kent packed aboard about 300 pounds of red Kool-Aid for ballast. Well, and to wash down the boiled eggs, jerky, and chocolate he packed a munch on along the way. He'd made two earlier attempts at an interstate flight. This year, he used more balloons. Susan Cooch called her husband crazy. Quote, "It's never been a dull moment since I married him." Kent says he flew hang gliders and skydived before taking up lawn chair flights. He estimates the chair rig cost about $6,000, most of it for helium, and he got his costs covered by corporate sponsors. You know, it seems like these days, no matter how harebrained your idea, there are sponsors just as wacky to step in and back you up. That's the latest from Aero News, sponsored by... Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about his unique perspective on the rising cost of fuel. What can we do to offset avgas prices? And what are the hidden costs of flying less? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.